Okay, welcome to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future. I am officially sick. I have some kind of thing. I don't know what it is, but we're going to try to get through this show. There may be coughing. There may be pausing to drink water. I'm just letting you know so that you're not put off. Welcome to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future. Today, our subject is... And this has made somebody mad already. I'll tell you about that in a minute. Money isn't everything. It's the only thing. And we'll talk about that in detail in a minute. First, I want to just thank you all for being here. You know, it's been a long run on KFBK. Even though I keep, you know, playing around with other things, look for me on some TV stuff in the near future. Look on, you know, other stuff, but, you know, I keep coming home, and home is KFBK. You've seen my ads in the newspaper, but I've been doing this show for 18 years, and, God willing, the creek don't rise. I hope to do it for a while longer. You know, I'm not getting younger, but I really like what I do. And even though I take a lot of grief for it, more grief than you can imagine, folks, I have people actively every day trying to end this show and put me out of business. They do not like what I do. They do not like what we talk about here. And yes, I could name names and I could show you emails and I can do all of that kind of stuff, but I'm not going to do that. Because at the end of the day, I want to focus on what it is that I think is important. And that is, I will spend my last breath telling people that just because they're ill, just because at the end of their life they need care, just because they have the wrong disease, no one needs to lose everything. You know, and I'm going to get political here for a minute, and I'll get to all the disclaimers and all that baloney in a little bit. But I don't feel good. And I'm angry. And I'm going to talk, as I always do, from my heart and what I believe to be the truth. I pulled up all the people that are on Medi-Cal by assembly district and by congressional district the other day. There are almost 14 million people on Medi-Cal in California. Do you understand that is the largest single budget item in California? It's bigger than college education. It's bigger than K-12 education. It's bigger than roads. It's bigger than anything. When you hear all this baloney about how many people there are on healthcare and how, it's because we went from 7 million people on Medi-Cal to almost 14 million people on Medi-Cal inside of 4 years. That means 14 million people are having their health care paid for by the taxpayers of the United States and of California. I don't have a particular problem with that. It's going to bust the budget. I mean, I know we got a bullet train, and that's important, but we're not building any new water storage facilities. And part of that, all of that, is because the cost of medical care in California is off the charts. And if I connected the dots, which I'm not going to do, go do it yourself. If I connected the dots to the populations with the largest percentages of people on Medi-Cal and their assembly person or congressperson, it would all start to make sense. Now, why am I concerned about that? And we're going to talk about money in a minute. Because of that number, only about 70 to 75,000 are old people in nursing homes. And yet, when you read any article in any newspaper anywhere written by any idiot reporter, what you hear is how seniors are draining the system. All these greedy seniors, and these rich seniors on Medi-Cal and nursing homes are draining the system. I mean, I just want you to let that sink in for a minute. If you don't think there's an open attack, there's gonna be new VA rigs coming out, and there's going to be a three-year look back, and if you live on a house on more than 2 acres, you won't be able to get VA aid and attendance and a bunch of other stuff. Who do you think that is all aimed at? I had an elder law attorney tell me the other day there are 7 million Vietnam vets out there still eligible for VA benefits. You don't think, I read something, God, where did I read it yesterday? Oh, I didn't, it's in my office. So this will be a paraphrase where the VA doesn't want to add new diseases to the Agent Orange list. You want to know why? Because of the cost. We have 13 million people on Medi-Cal, 14 million people on Medi-Cal, tens and hundreds of millions across the United States on Medicaid. And we can't afford vets. Vets are seniors. The people in nursing homes. By the way, the only Medi-Cal recovery now left in the state of California are not the 14 million people who are out there who could, never mind, I don't want to go there. It's only old people in nursing homes. Look, just let that sink in for a minute. So when I tell you there is an open attack on old people, I'm not making it up. You know, you can play with statistics all you want to, but these are statistics from the Department of Healthcare Services. This is the department that manages this. And I don't want to read it all by district, but it's available. You can go to the DHCS website, and you can look up Medi-Cal recipients, the number in every assembly district and every congressional district in the state of California, and the number is staggering. Yet only about 70 to 75,000 of them are people, old people, in nursing homes. So if you have a heart attack, Medi-Cal will pay for your heart attack. If you need assisted living, nah, you're old. We're not paying for that. If you have a lung cancer because you smoked your whole life, Medi-Cal will pay for that. But if you need in-home care because you had a stroke, nah, Medi-Cal's not going to pay. You're an old person. We're not going to pay for that. And I'm not making any of this stuff up. So that said, let me go to my subject of the day. Well, first of all, I have to get the disclaimers out because I'll guarantee you I'll get 27 phone calls if I don't get the disclaimers out. My name is Bob Scrivano. I'm your host. I'm not an attorney. I don't practice law. I don't give legal advice. Everything we talk about here is my opinion only and should not be taken as any form of legal, tax, or financial advice. I have a California insurance license. So what? I have a California legal document assistant license, which allows me to prepare legal documents at your request. It is registered in Sacramento County, and that's where the bond is filed. I am a notary. I can notarize documents. I am not securities licensed. I don't want to be. This show, for 18 years, has been about information and trying to tell the truth as I see it about what's happening in California and throughout the United States to seniors. And who's on Medi-Cal and who's not on Medi-Cal and where is their recovery and where is their not at recovery? Why is there no recovery? Those are my hands for emphasis, clapping together. Why is there no recovery for the other 13 million people in California? It's because they vote. Seniors in nursing homes don't vote. And by the way, the next time somebody tells you it's hard to register to vote, they're lying to you. They're lying to you. Why is that? Because every year, everybody on Medi-Cal has to go through redetermination. And you know what all 14 million of those people in California get? They get a voter registration card. It comes with the package. Every time you go to the DMV to get a senior ID or your driver's license, you get a voter registration card. So the next time somebody tells you it's hard to register to vote, they're lying. I don't know what a nice way to say it. So let's talk about my subject today, which is money. Knowing that the deck is stacked against you and there's not going to be a lot of help available. Like, you know, there's a big web guy up in Seattle who yells and screams all day long about how seniors are ruining Medicaid. What he doesn't tell you is he's a shill and paid for by the long-term care industry. There are vested interests. There is a big long-term care industrial complex that really doesn't want you to know about this stuff. So let's talk about money. Given that the deck is stacked against you, the one thing you have going for you is understanding how money works. How money works. How money works. Money, 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 money. You know, it's like the old ABBA song. Money, money, money. If you haven't heard the old ABBA song, listen to the old ABBA song, Money. It's what's going to determine how you take care of yourself. Money is what's standing between you and a nursing home. I don't understand, Bob. Well, let's walk through this slowly. And I talked about this the other day at my workshop a lot. By the way, if you haven't come to one of my workshops, I have one coming up on March the 4th. Don't miss it. You can sign up for it by going to my website, assetsandaging.com, or you can call me at 800-999-8007. That's my local number right here in Sacramento, 800-999-8007, or go to my website, assetsandaging.com. You can sign up for my workshops. You can listen to my podcast every Wednesday. You can listen to my archived radio programs. Money. Everybody, as we get older and as we lose our independence, everybody, and I mean everybody, wants to stay where? Everybody wants to stay home. I applaud that. I want to stay home. Don't you want to stay home? I want to stay home. Everybody wants to stay home. Anybody that doesn't want to stay home has a screw loose. I can't imagine not wanting to stay at home if you can. That's normal. However, if you can't take care of yourself, or you can't take care of your mom or dad, or you can't take care of your spouse, then somebody's going to have to take care of you. How are you going to pay for that? Money is going to allow you to stay home. Now, I had somebody get mad the other day. My podcast was on this same subject, short version of this. And somebody asked off my email list. They didn't want to be my email list anymore because they didn't want to buy anything from me. And they completely missed the point. The email was, my podcast is going to be Money Isn't Everything. It's the only thing. They didn't go beyond that. They just, and the reality is, they'll be the ones that at the end of the day won't be able to pay for any of this because they won't understand what the concept was, and they'll blithely go through life thinking they have it all under control when they don't. To stay at home costs money. I was in a house the other day, husband and wife, both there, both need care, both should be in nursing homes. Family can't afford nursing homes. They're paying for a caregiver part-time. The children are paying for the caregiver for mom and dad part-time. And it's costing them almost $6,000 a month. Part-time. Part-time. That's $70,000 a year coming out of the kids' pockets. Now, do you have $70,000 floating around to pay for your mom and dad to stay at home? And that's only part-time. Round-the-clock care would cost $12,000 to $15,000 a month. So you want to stay home, then money is going to be everything because it's what's going to allow you to stay at home. That is a really simple concept. So add up all the money you have. While you're sitting, if you're driving down a road, do it in your head. Don't use the computer on your phone, please. Add it up. How much money do you have? How much money in stocks, bonds, savings, CDs, checking, money markets, IRAs, 401ks, wherever you have it. If you add it all up, how much money you got? I got $200,000, Bob, or whatever the number is. Okay, at $50,000 a year for part-time home care, how long does your money last? Simple equation. You can stay at home for 4 years. If it's going to cost you $70,000 a year to stay at home, how long can you stay at home? Well, I can stay home about 3 years, Bob. Do you understand the point? Money isn't everything. It's the only thing when it comes to long-term care. Money is going to decide where you stay. Do you get to have the best caregivers, or do you hire somebody off the books and pay them $10 an hour and hope they don't get hurt and sue you or steal from you? So what's going to help you stay at home? Money. I don't know how much money you have. I don't care where your money is invested. I'm not a stockbroker. But I'm telling you right now, if you're making a half a point on your CDs, you might want to think about other options. There are other options. And by the way, I'm going to throw this into the mix. Mom and Dad are making $4,000 a month. When Dad dies, and the likelihood is he'll die first, when Dad dies, what happens to Mom's income? That's right, it goes down by usually half. So now when Mom needs care, we have half as much money to take care of her. Isn't that cool? But Mom wants to stay at home. Well, Bob, we're going to do a reverse mortgage. Okay. We're going to do a reverse mortgage, and we're going to use that money to keep Mom at home. Great. I applaud that. Not a bad idea. Okay. Good. Fabulous. Fantastic. Mom stays at home for 2 years, and she can't stay home alone anymore, so she needs to transition to an assisted living or a memory care unit. She leaves the house. What just happened to the house? The house gets sold, and what happened to the equity? We used up the equity paying for home care. Now, how do we pay the $8,000 a month for a memory care unit in assisted living? Well, Bob, you're being very blunt. Yes, I am. Because this is the reality that I live in and competent elder law attorneys live in. Notice I said competent. It's important that you understand how money works when it comes to long-term care. It's finite. Your life is finite too, but you could easily use up everything you have. There's two reasons why people don't want to go in nursing homes. One is they're just afraid of them because they have this view they're, you know, not nice places. They're places full of sick people. But the real reason people don't want to go into nursing homes is because they're terrified of the cost. How much is this going to cost? You know, when people come to me, they never ask what's the solution. The first thing they say is, what's this going to cost me? Which, by the way, on the face of it, is an irrelevant question. If it cost you $200,000 for care, and by giving me $100,000, you didn't have to spend $200,000, would that be a good deal? It doesn't cost $100,000 to come see me. I'm using that for an example. The question should be, are there solutions, and can I access them? Can I implement the solution? When people are focused on, well, how much is this going to cost me? They don't ever ask, well, if I don't do this, how much is it going to cost me to stay in a care home for the next 5 years? Or how much is it going to cost me to hire a caregiver for the next 5 years? They have the cost backwards. It's not, what do I cost or what does an elder law attorney cost? But what's the cost of not doing that? And how do I access the solutions that are going to let me afford the level of care that I want? So lots of people go through all three levels. They go through home care, then they go to assisted living, and then they go to a nursing home. Assisted living, For a single person is about $4,000 to $5,000 a month. For a married couple, about $5,000 to $7,000 a month. Memory care, $8,000 a month and up. And nursing homes, $10,000 a month and up. So what are you going to do when all of that happens? I don't have an answer for you, folks. I just don't have an answer. I don't know the answer for your life or for somebody else's life, but I'm telling you that, you know, you've heard the old saying, money is the root of all evil. No, money is good. Because money is going to determine what level of care I get, and am I able to stay independent? The absence of that means that my choices are limited. You know, one of the things somebody told me a long time ago is one of the things that money buys is choice. Money buys choice. You have more choices. If you have more money, you have a choice between McDonald's or Morton's. If you don't have much money, it may only be McDonald's. If you have money, it's a two-week vacation. If you don't have money, it's a four-day vacation or a weekend vacation. Money buys choice. Well, when it comes to long-term care, money buys choice. Money is what's going to allow you to make choices, or your family make choices when it comes to all of this. I don't have the answers for your family. But when the time comes that you can't take care of yourself, money is going to determine where you go. There are people in nursing homes who actually could be in probably assisted living or a memory care unit in a little softer level of care. Why aren't they? Because they can't afford it. Because believe it or not, the harshest level of care, nursing homes, is the one where there's the most help available. The softer level of care is home and assisted living. There's almost no help available. So what are you going to do, and how are you going to take care of it when you need care? And I'm sorry, I don't have the answers for you. There are answers for you, but I don't know you because you're sitting out there at the other end of the radio. If you've decided that it's time to break inertia, get off your rear end, and begin to make a difference in your life, then call me. If you want to have a serious talk about money and choice and how you're going to do it and what you're going to do, call me. I had somebody in my office yesterday, and I had to send them away because the documents they had been done so poorly that I didn't want to go anywhere near them. I even called an attorney, and the attorney didn't. I was going to send them to an attorney. The attorney didn't want to go near them. And as a result, there was nothing we can do to save money. So you can wait until that happens. Or you can take the choice, break inertia, and say, I'll spend a little time. I'll spend a little money on gas. I'll go see Bob. And we'll together reason together and see what options I have when it comes to my care or my mom's care or my dad's care. 800-999-8007. Now, if you have $5 million in the bank, this is probably not an issue. If you have a house and a few hundred thousand dollars, this is probably a really big issue. And I can't tell you what's right for you. I can tell you there is a solution. I can tell you what government benefits you may be able to access. I can tell you how to stretch your money and make it last. I can tell you what options and choices you have in care. But I can't make you develop a plan and develop a strategy and begin to develop a mindset that says, you know, money really is at the middle of this. And I want to stay in the, you know, people come to me all the time and say, what's the best place in town? And I name them the best place in town. And they say, is it expensive? And I said, of course. It's the best place in town. The best assisted living facility in town. Do you want the best or do you want the fourth best? Well, money will determine which one you get, or if you get it at all. 800-999-8007. Break inertia at rest. Make the decision to get off your you-know-what and come and see me and begin to find an answer. There are answers. The consultation is free. 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. Or assetsandaging.com, where you can send me an email or sign up for an appointment or a workshop. 800-999-8007. Give me a call during the break. We'll be back here in just a few minutes after a couple short commercial breaks right here on Assets and Aging. Okay, I'm back right here on Assets and Aging. Yes, I get worked up over this stuff because I live it every day. I wish I could sit there and videotape and tape record what happens. I wish I could not only videotape what my clients go through, but the amount of deceit that there is in this marketplace and in this industry. The number of things that people are told in nursing homes and assisted living, the things they're told about Medi-Cal and Medicare and all that other stuff, the things they're told about long-term beds versus short-term beds versus rehab, and all of the things that people try to wade through. I wish I could go through the number of Medi-Cal apps that have been denied by people who've applied on their own or have had other people apply for them, and all of a sudden there's, you know, I had somebody in my office the other day that had applied for VA benefits 2 years ago and was denied wrongly. The problem is there's a one-year statute. I called an accredited agent friend of mine, and there's a one-year statute on an appeal, and it was denied wrongly. By the way, the VA is infamous for that. The number of Medi-Cal apps that are denied wrongly, the number of people that are denied benefits wrongly, the number of people who don't understand the difference between general Medi-Cal and long-term care Medi-Cal and the assisted living waiver program and in-home support services and personal care services provider and all of those kinds of things. It's why there's so much distrust of the system and why it's made it so easy for opportunists, fake nonprofits. And yes, they're everywhere. Just because somebody has the word nonprofit after their name, folks, does not mean they're doing honorable things. In fact, my experience with a lot of nonprofits is that they're self-serving. They exist for the salaries that the directors get or that the principals get. And there's lots of places you can go. Whenever you're confronted with a nonprofit, well, I don't care what they're doing, whether it's senior issues or veterans or whatever it is, go to GuideStar or one of the other places where you can look up their tax returns. Every nonprofit has to file tax returns. And you can look up their tax returns and you can see how much money they took in and you can see how much they paid their directors. You know, when somebody takes in $2 million and pays themselves $1 million in salary, don't you think that's an issue when they claim to be doing things for people? When somebody takes in $32 million as a profit and pays out $22 million in salaries, don't you think that that shows something about them? When somebody takes in $100,000 in income and there's one director and they pay themselves $50,000 in salary, don't you think there's a problem with that? Nonprofits are supposed to exist for the people that they're trying to take care of and benefit, not for the directors. So the confusion in this, in long-term care, has made the ability of groups and organizations. There are insurance agencies operating as nonprofits. I once saw an insurance agency operating out of a church, and they had the name of a church on it, when it was really an insurance agency doing veterans benefits by someone who was a non-accredited VA person. I'm not making this stuff up, folks. I've got all this stuff in files over the years, or it's been given to me. It makes for a bog. And one of the problems is that everybody has advice. One of the biggest problems I have is when I give somebody advice, well, what's the first thing they do? What's the first thing we all do? We all run over and get a second opinion. Well, the second opinion, there's an old saying in sales that the first liar doesn't stand a chance. So if you're the somewhat first person who gives someone an opinion, the first thing the second person's going to do is what? Say, don't believe that first person. Well, why wouldn't we believe them? The key to finding the truth is to always ask, where does it say that? So when somebody says to you, well, you can't do that, he can't do that, there's no such rule, there's a 3-year look back, there's a 5-year look back, there's an asset limit, you can't do that, where does it say that? Where does it say that? I don't know where it says that. Somebody told me. A little birdie whispered in my ear. I heard it somewhere. I was talking to somebody the other day and they said, well, where does it say that? So, there's an attorney who's written articles about how you should have to get a divorce. And I have people come into my office and say, I've been told the only thing we can do is get a divorce. And I go, who told you that? And where does it say that? Where does it say that the only way you can protect what you have and get Medi-Cal for your husband who's in a nursing home is divorce the man you've been married to for 50 years? Where does it say that? Where does it say there's a 5-year look back and you can't do anything? Where does it say you can't go to court and get a court order changing the Medi-Cal limits? Where does it say that you can't protect your house? Where does it say you can't protect what you have from an estate recovery? Where does it say all of that? Because where does it say there's a 3-year look back? Where does it say there's a 4-year look back, or a 5-year look back, or a 27-year look back? Where does it say that? Where does it say that? It's really important that you ask people when they tell you stuff, where does it say that? Learn that phrase. I tell people in the nursing home will say, dad's in for rehab, and they'll say, well, we don't have any short-term beds. Where does it say that? Isn't dad in a bed? All right, well, that's not a short-term bed. That's a rehab bed. Well, where does it say that? Is there a label on the bed? Let me go over here and look at the end of it and see if there's a label. Medi-Cal's pending. You have to leave. Oh, yeah? Where does it say that? Yeah, he's already in the nursing home. Well, I know, but we don't take Medi-Cal. Where does it say that? Well, we're gonna have to move him to a 3-bedroom. Oh, yeah? Where does it say that? Are there any rules that say you might not be able to do that? Where does it say that? It's really, really important that you learn the phrase, where does it say that? So somebody came to see me the other day, and they have a spouse in a care home, and it's costing a lot of money. And I said, I can help. And I said, here's the things I can do. And they said, okay, we want you to do that. And I said, okay. And they went home and they talked to a neighbor. And the neighbor said, he can't do that. That's impossible. He can't do any of those things. So rather than fight it, I just gave them a refund. And now they can keep paying the $8,000 a month. I don't care. But they never once asked the neighbor, who claimed to be very knowledgeable about this and in fact wasn't, well, you can't do any of these things. You can't do any of these things. Well, where does it say that? Well, I don't think he can do this stuff. I don't think he can do that. Where does it say that? I'm always leery of somebody who says there's no way to do this. My initial response is to, you know, say, well, yeah, there probably is. Either you don't know it or you don't want to tell me. One of the phrases you need to learn to protect yourself as you deal with long-term care issues is when you go to a workshop, when you go to a seminar, and somebody says, where does it say that? I'm going to meet with somebody, a reporter in the future, and we're going to be talking about, I'm not an accredited VA agent, but I love vets. Not a vet. I love vets. Love vets. My best friend is a vet. My second best friend is a vet. Got lots of friends that are vets. Have vets in my office all day long. Love vets. And one of the things we're going to talk about is the changing VA rules. And I'm going to bring him a set of the rules. Because it doesn't do him any good as a reporter to sit there and say, and I tell him the rules. I'm going to bring him the actual rules from the Federal Register. And then he can look at them. And he can make his own determination as to whether or not it makes sense or it doesn't make sense or it's a lie or whatever it is. So the answer always is, where does it say that? It's always, where does it say that? If you can't answer that question, then what are you going to do? Where does it say that? Where does it say my husband can't be admitted to the hospital? Where does it say he can't have an extra day of rehab? Where does it say all that? I don't know. But you better find out. That's all I can tell you. You better find out. If you're not sure, call me, 800-999-8007. If someone's told you something about long-term care issues and you're not sure, call me. I'll talk to you. Phone call's free. Consultation is free. And when we're done, I'll be able to tell you where it says that. But you have to know, remember we talked in the first half hour about how important money is. Well, you want to spend your money wisely. So don't you think you ought to kind of know what the implications are of certain things and what the rules are and what you can do? Did you know that there's a Medi-Cal program in Sacramento County, it's not in every county, that helps pay for adult daycare for people with dementia? Did you know that? Do you know how it works? Do you know how you apply? Do you know what program you apply under? Do you know if every nursing home takes the waiver program or do only a few? Do you have a list of all the places that do? How does IHSS work? How does in-home support care work? Will it pay for a family caregiver? Will it pay the wife? Do you know? I don't know. But you have to know. You have to be able to understand how to pick out a good facility. You have to understand the rules. You have to understand how the 30-month look-back works or the 5-year look-back works or the gifting rules or the non-gifting rules. You need to understand how your documents work in all of this. It's great that you have documents that take care of funeral stuff, but what if we don't die? What are the rules then? I had an attorney come to my workshop last month. He's been talking about he wants to get more and more. He wants to understand elder issues more. And he came to my workshop the other day, and we were talking yesterday, and he said, "Oh my gosh, I had no idea." He said, I've been an attorney all these years, and I had no idea. He said, "I've done tons of powers of attorney and trusts, and I had no idea about this thing with this concept of frailty language and language that deals with long-term care, not just with dying. I had no idea. I never knew. Nobody ever told me. I never heard about it anywhere." And as we were sitting there, he said, "Why would anybody do anything else?" I said, "Well, because there's a vested interest in people who want you to be forced back to them. Rather than you knowing the answers, they'll keep the answers secret, and then you have to come back to them for the answers." One of the things I've always done, I've done it on this radio show. I've given you links to rules, to regulations, to how things work. I want my clients to understand how things work. I don't want them to be in the dark. I know it's complicated. I know it's hard. I know sometimes our eyes glaze over. I get it. I understand all that. I get it. But you have to spend some time understanding. I had a daughter in my office the other day, and she said, "Well, I'm the trustee of my mom and dad's trust." And I looked very quickly, and I said, "I can't offer you a legal opinion, but is your mom still alive?" "Oh, yeah." "Is she incompetent?" "No." "Well, as close as I can tell, she's the trustee." She said, "But it says on here I'm the successor trustee, and my dad died." "I know, but when your dad died, your mom is the trustee, not you. Your mom's in charge of the trust." And she looked at me like I'd hit her. Because everybody else had just told her, "Well, she's the successor trustee. Mom, dad died, so she must be the trustee." "No, she's not. It's her mom." And guess what? Her mom is becoming more frail. And she just didn't know. Because everybody had just told her, "Your name's on the document, so you can be in charge." No, doesn't work that way all the time. I have people to say to me all the time, "Well, I'm the executor of my mom's will, so if something happens," and I go, whoa, let's back up the truck for a minute. "So you're the executor of your mom's will. Okay, is your mom dead?" "Well, no." "Well, when do wills begin?" "What do you mean?" "Well, I mean, when do you become the executor?" "Well, I'm the executor." "No. When do you become the executor?" "You become the executor when your mom dies." "Is your mom dead?" "Well, no." "Well, then you're not the executor. You might be someday, but maybe not today." What kind of power of attorney does your mom have? Or do you have? Do you have what are called springing powers of attorney? Remember, I'm not an attorney. It's my opinion only. Or do you have an immediate power of attorney? A springing power of attorney only goes into effect when you're declared incompetent. Is that really what you want to do? Do you want to have your mom declared incompetent so you can take care of her affairs? Or do you want to just be able to take care of her affairs? That would be an immediate power of attorney, which goes into effect the day it's signed. There's a difference. Do you understand the difference? Do you understand the risks? "Well, Bob, I've heard," I'm just going through all this stuff, folks, no particular order. "I've heard that the best way to protect the house is I'll just put my kids' names on it. My husband's dead, and I'm just going to put my kids' names on it, and it'll all be protected." Really? That's really good news. I'm happy to hear that. One problem. It's not your house anymore. "Well, what do you mean?" "Well, you gave the house to your kids. It's their house." I didn't think about it. "Not only that, you may have lost this thing." Not a tax guy, my opinion only. You may have lost something called a stepped-up basis, which could cost you a lot of tax money down the road. Well, I heard I could do an irrevocable life estate. Yeah, not an attorney, don't practice law, my opinion only. Irrevocable life estate means can't be changed. So if you go bonkers and you go into a nursing or into, and you need health care, you need to go in assisted living and the kids would like to sell the house and use that money to help pay for you in assisted living, they may not be able to because you did an irrevocable life estate. Well, how come nobody told me that? I don't know. Because people want simple answers. And because people are concerned about cost, well, wait a minute. Somebody can do a deed for you for $150. Okay, the house is transferred to my kids. It's protected. Now we have all these other problems, but it only cost me $150. To do it the right way might cost several thousand dollars. Well, I don't want to do that because that costs a lot of money. I understand. But do you understand by gifting the house to your kids, you may have cost them $50,000 in capital gains tax? What? Yeah, because there's this thing called a stepped-up basis, and if you gave it to them, they might have lost the stepped-up basis, which means they're going to pay capital gains on the house when you sell it. I mean, when you die. What? So I understand you only paid $150, but you just cost them $50,000 in capital gains tax. What? How come nobody told me that? Because you didn't ask. One of the things I'm really good at is asking questions in advance like that. The questions I'm asking here on the radio are the questions I'd ask somebody who was sitting in my office. If somebody said to me, well, I've been told, you know, somebody told me I could just give that. Who's somebody, by the way? Somebody just told me I could give the house to my kids and it would be protected. Right. Oh, good. Did they tell you about all the bad stuff that can happen as a result of that? What bad stuff? It's my house. No, it's not your house. What if your kids get sued? What if your kids get divorced? What if your kids go through bankruptcy? Anybody talk to you about any of those kinds of things? What are the tax implications of that? You made a gift. Is there a gift tax return due? Do you have to file one? Did anybody talk to you about it? Maybe it not be any gift tax, but do you need to file a gift tax return? If you gave it to your grandchildren, did you lose the parent-child exclusion on the property taxes? Well, I don't understand all that, Bob. Don't worry about it. I'm just asking questions. Did anybody talk to you about all of that? That's why it's so important that people sit down and talk about their specific issue, not the issues of somebody else or their neighbor or their brother Fred or whoever it is, but what's peculiar and particular to your situation. What if you have no family? What if you've never been married and you have no kids? Who's going to take care of you and who's going to make the financial decisions that you need to have made? What if you and your husband never had any kids and he died and he was going to be your agent and he was going to get everything, but he died first. All your brothers and sisters are now 80 years old, so they're not a good choice. You don't live close to your nephews and nieces, so what are you going to do? Well, I don't know. Well, when are you going to find out? After you're goofy and it's too late and the county is now in charge of your life? Is that a good set of circumstances? Well, I just don't understand. I know. That's the whole idea. There's lots of questions, and the answers are going to vary depending on your life. Not your neighbor's life, not your brother's life, not the life of the guy in the talking to you over the back fence. And none of that stuff. What do you want to accomplish? What do you want to have happen? How do you want to live? What kind of care do you want to have? Who do you want to take care of you? And have you made sure that your wishes, well, I want to be cremated. Well, yeah, does anybody know that? Well, no, but that's what I want. Well, okay, does anybody know that? Well, no. Do your kids know that? Well, my kids don't like that idea. Better have the discussion. Better make sure what your documents say. Happenstance is usually not a good solution. Having things planned out and thought out and reasoned out is better than panic. If you're dealing with a parent that has a little dementia, it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. What are you going to do when it gets worse? Do you want to have choices, or do you want circumstance to make your choice? Well, I don't care, Bob. I don't care what happens to me. I don't care. Well, I don't want to talk to you then, because most people who are reasonable and rational do care. 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. Bob@assetsandaging.com. Bob@assetsandaging. Bob@assetsandaging.com. You can sign up for my workshops. You can send me an email. You can sign up for an appointment. You can get in touch with me. You can do the things you need to do. Thank you so much for listening. I appreciate you listening. But what I really want is you to take my words and act on them. And begin to make a difference in your own life. Begin to make the difference in the life of your family and your loved ones and your mom and your dad. Take the opportunity you have here to do something. Break inertia at rest, step forward, and make the phone call. 800-999-8007. I hope all of you have a great day. We'll see you here again next week, same time, same place, on Assets and Aging, Affording the Future.